Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit and the work that you're doing here. And Father, I pray now that it would not be my word spoken, but it be your word spoken through me. Lord, you know the need of everyone in this room. And I pray that each one of us would experience you this morning in whatever way we need. Father, that you would be there, that you would guide us, you would direct us, that our hearts, our minds would be hungry to hear from you this morning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3. And thinking about Memorial Day and what all it means and what all it stands for. And these scriptures kept coming to my mind this week. Just remembering all the Lord's done for me, all the Lord's done for you. And this is kind of a illustration of how God wants us to remember what He's done for us. Joshua chapter 3. And let's begin in verse 5. It says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. You know, that verse always really stands out to me. Because I wonder how many of us, we don't see the move of God like we would like to see, because we're not really consecrated. We're not really set apart. We really haven't meditated and seek the Lord the way that we're supposed to. And here, Joshua's telling them, God's about to do something amazing. I don't know about y'all, but I want to see God do something amazing. I want to see God do something amazing with you and with me. And when I say that, I don't mean parting the river like we're about to see what He did. I mean in my life and my personal walk with God, with the experience that I have in a daily basis with God, to know His voice, to hear His voice, to react to His voice, and then watch and see how He works. Verse 6, Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go stand in the river. You know, as I was thinking about that, and I've went through a lot of creeks as a kid, walked in them and played in them and rode four-wheelers through them. But when I think about a river, I think, have I ever really just stepped off into a river? I'm trying to think. I don't know if I ever have, but I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about sometimes when I've been at the edge of a, it's more creeks that I've been at the edge of when they were flooded, you know, but man, sometimes, you know, that water will wash it out, and it's a big drop off in there. When the water's flowing really fast, I don't want to step off in it. I remember one time when I was in elementary school, and maybe I was just getting into junior high, I'm not sure, and the creek down here in town flooded, and they canceled school because they were scared that the dam at City Lake was going to break, and so they sent everybody home from school, and so the waters were up all around the elementary school and the bridges that was right up to the, and a couple of my buddies got inner tubes and jumped in and just took off. They had no sense. They survived. They're still alive today, but they just took off floating it. And I don't know where they ended up, but they took off, and I wasn't going to do it, you know. But to just step off in a river, and we're going to read here in just a minute that it's at flood stage. So I want to go down and let's go jump down to like verse 14. Well, no. Yeah, let's go down to verse 14. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. So there we are. It's at flood stage. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off, so the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all the Israelites passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Y'all, that's God. That's got to be God. And I'm just thinking, in my mind, the courage and the trust and the faith of the priest to step off in a flooding river and to say, I know God's going to take care of me. I know God's going to do this. I know God has commanded me to step off in this river. Y'all, for us, some of the things that God has asked us to do in our life, it might seem scary. It might seem like, do I really need to step off in this? It's too dangerous. What the consequences, and we put all this stuff in our mind instead of just following what God has told us to do. I'm not saying that God's told you to step off in a river, but there's things I believe in each one of our lives that God's told us to do at different times, and we've been too scared to do it. But here, the priest stepped off in a flood stage river, and God stopped the water so that they could cross on dry ground. Chapter 4, verse 1, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and carry them over with you, and put them down on at the place where you stay the night. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Okay, so I want you to think about this. They're carrying out these stones. They're making them into a pile. Why? So they could remember what God had done. There's a visible sign of what God had done. I remember years ago when we used to go down to Granite Church Camp, and I don't know how it got started, but it was going on when I got there. But they had wood altars. I think they were cedar trees cut in half. And when someone would get saved, when someone would give their life to Jesus, they would take, and it's been a long time, so Susie might have to correct me if I'm wrong, but they would take and they would put a notch in that cedar log and have the kids write their name there. And I remember Chip would tell them, now when you go home, and Satan begins to attack you, and Satan begins to tell you that this isn't real, you remember there's a physical, visible reminder of you giving your life to Jesus Christ. And I thought that was such a good idea. So if you guys ever go back to our youth room back there, there's names written all over the wall. And some of them have dates, some of them don't. And it's a physical reminder of that I gave my life to Jesus. And here it's so when the kids ask, what's that big pile of rocks there? It's to glorify God and say, look what the Lord has done. And I want to ask you, do we remember all that God has done? Do we remember what God has done? Because sometimes when you're a long way removed from something, you begin to forget, don't you? How many of y'all remember your favorite Christmas gift from a child when you were a kid? I remember some, but you know what? I don't go to my mom and dad every day and go, thank you. Why? They'd say, Pete, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? Remember when I was in third grade and I got that Tonka truck that I wanted? Oh, thank you so much. They'd look at me like I've lost my mind, right? And, you know, I don't know why, but as I'm thinking about all this, I was thinking about different gifts that I've been given throughout my life, throughout my childhood, and I was just thinking, man, I really did appreciate that. And I know it was hard work for my parents to provide for me and to give me things that they gave me. There's things throughout my life that I remember and I'm so appreciative of it, but I don't go and tell people every day. Me and Dad just the other day was talking about when we were single and living at home and Dad couldn't cook and Mom had left and so we were eating TV dinners all the time, and I remember there was a certain TV dinner that was I really liked, but then I found a girlfriend named Crystal and her mom cooked. And Dad was laughing. He said, "You know how much money Tamisha's probably got in you for all the meals she cooked you when you were a teenager and all you ate?" I said, "I know. And I still appreciate it." You know, there's different things in our lives, but you know what? Every time I see Mark and Tamisha, I don't say, "Thank y'all so much for cooking for me when I was 16, 17. I don't tell my dad, "Thank you so much for that gas money." But the further away you get, you kind of forget those things, don't you? They kind of, and y'all, we can get that way with God also. The further away removed, so sometimes there needs to be things in our life like a pile of rocks to remember. We got this thing at home, a little vase, and it's got different rocks in it. I don't know why I like collecting rocks when we're at different places, and but some of them are rocks from Lake Michigan when we stopped by Lake Michigan when we were up there, and we just had to mess with it and it got moved, and so I've been seeing those rocks again, and it's reminded me of that trip to Michigan and being at Lake Michigan and stuff. We have rocks from different creeks. We got these crystals from Hot Springs when we went to the mines down there and dug. You know, so there's different things that I remember, those trips, I remember those things, but God, I think sometimes we forget all that God's done for each and every one of us, because sometimes we've walked with God so long and we begin to get removed from all that He's done. One more example. I don't remember if it was this week or last week. I think it was this week, but it might have been last week. I was out delivering, and I had to back into this dock. And I took a picture of it because everywhere I looked, there was water around me. And it was my second stop of the day, and I got to step out in this water. It's ankle deep. There wasn't no way around it. So ankle deep water, and I'm going in to deliver to these people, and I'm like... So all day long I had wet feet and it was miserable. And y'all, I go home and I try and dry out my shoes. I put powder in them, doing all this stuff to dry them out. I thought they'd be dry the next morning when I put them on. They're still wet. So I got wet feet 2 days this week. And I was just, ugh. But it's funny because sometimes my job cannot be so much fun. Sometimes my job can stink. Sometimes you get wet feet. But I was talking to a guy this week, and he was telling me at the job that he's at, he's a boss, and how he used to pour concrete. And I said, "Well, I used to roof houses," and we were just talking about all that and how hard we used to work at that. And all at once, wet feet weren't quite so bad as carrying shingles up those ladders like I used to do. And I began to appreciate my job once again. Does that make sense? But sometimes when you get so far removed, you don't appreciate things anymore. And we can be that way with God. Psalms 103:1 says, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Have we forgot all that God's done for us? Have we forgot how glorious and wonderful God is? Verse 3 says, "Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." It doesn't say some of your sins. He says who forgives all your sins. Verse 4, "Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." Have you been redeemed this morning? Have you forgot what the Lord has done for you? Or do you remember, do you have a pile of rocks so that when your kids, when your family, when someone looks at your life and you can go, I can remember that moment that God transformed me. I can remember that moment that I knelt down and I prayed and I asked Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. Do you remember who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Do we appreciate how God has been so faithful to us and how God has been so compassionate and all the times that we've blown it? But God's still slow to anger, abounding in love. All the times that we've been in rebellion, all the times that we've taken the wrong road. Verse 9 says, He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever, but He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. I don't know about y'all, but that's some shouting right there. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or according to our iniquities. Man, I don't know about y'all, but if I got treated the way that I deserved for the life that I had lived, I wouldn't be here. I'd be dead. I'd have been struck down long ago. But God is so loving. He's so compassionate. And He's so kind. And I think for some of us, we forget all that God has done for us. In Psalm 77, 11 through 15, He says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all Your works and consider all Your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display Your power among the peoples. With Your mighty arm, You redeem Your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. Do we remember? Do we praise God? Do we give thanks, God, remembering all that He's done for us? This Memorial Day, we should be remembering all the soldiers who fought for our country and all the things that this country's went through to give us our freedoms. But do we remember all that God's done so that we can be free from sin this morning, so that we don't have to live in condemnation and rejection? Do we remember all that God has done and give Him thanks and give Him praise for all He's done? In Luke 17, Luke 17:11. On His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When He saw them, He said, Go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Do you remember that moment in your life that you said, God, have mercy on me? Maybe you didn't have leprosy. Maybe you've been healed of a cancer or sickness or a disease. But hopefully all of you in this room, and if you haven't, hopefully by the end of this service you will, but hopefully you've been cleansed from unrighteousness and sin. Hopefully you've come to a point that you cried out to God and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. That's what was going on here. They were covered in leprosy. And in church, when you made that decision and you cried out to God, and you knew God answered your prayer, how awesome and how great was that? It's amazing, y'all, what God has done. And you know, maybe you're not healed, physically healed yet, but spiritually you're healed this morning. That's an even greater miracle because that's for all eternity. These lepers, they were healed for that moment. You may have been healed for a moment in your physical, but what about your spiritual? Y'all, that's more exciting than anything else of what God's done, how He's forgiven us of our sins, how He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. These people were desperate, and we've been desperate for God, but I think sometimes, just like you forget about the Christmas gifts and the food and the things that your parents and that your family has done for you, and you forget about how you appreciate your job, and you forget about different things in your life, I think so many of us have forgot all that God's done and it's just become common. And we no longer remember the people that we used to be and all God's done for us now. Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And when he was in, and he was a Samaritan, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was not one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. So I was praying and thinking about this, and I was thinking about how I'm guilty of not remembering and taking for granted all God's done. How many times has God answered a prayer for me? And I thank Him, and then I go on, and I don't remember. How many times has something that I knew God was at work in, and I no longer remember. And I meant to get it, but I didn't. I don't think it's up here. I'm double check. Nope. Some more stuff that I do wrong. Mitzi, several years ago, got me this prayer journal that you're supposed to write in and keep up. I'm not much of a journaler or writing or anything else. I can't remember even how many years ago that was. She got it for me. And you know how many prayers and answered prayers are written in there? It's not that I didn't appreciate it. I just don't do that. I think it's back in my office. And last week, I was thinking on Sunday nights, I need to get that out and just start writing stuff down. Why do I need to write it down? So we remember. Sometimes when your faith is shaky, isn't it good to think back? Sometimes when I'm preparing for a sermon and I have nothing, you know what I got to do? God, you've never failed me. I know you're going to give me something. I hope it's not me up here preaching. I hope it's the Lord giving y'all something. Sometimes it's good to remember. I remember some big things that I've seen God do, but I forget the day-to-day things. And what got me thinking about it is you guys praying for me, when was that, 3 or 4 weeks ago? See, I don't even remember how many weeks ago it was. And God healed me. God touched the shoulder, y'all. Not everybody was here. As soon as they started praying for me, there was a burning that come on my arm. God healed my shoulder. I need to remember that. And I need to remember how faithful God is and how awesome God is. And I need to tell Him thank you. And so as I was praying and I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know what? Every one of you needs to remember. You need to remember something that God's done for you in your life. You need to remember of how God has taken you from the pit and changed you. I remember who I used to be, how I lived to party. I lived to do all the wrong stuff, but y'all, something inside of me changed and now I have a different desire. That's God. That's God that did that. That's the Holy Spirit that did it. And so this morning, I would really like you guys to just let's take a moment here and maybe close your eyes. I don't normally do this. Just close your eyes and I want you to think of something that God has done. And if you're struggling with thinking what God has done, think a little harder because God's done so much. And I want you to think. And while you're thinking about it, I want you to begin to thank Him. I want you to thank Him for all He's done. And y'all, and there's something about giving thanks. There's something about giving praise. Lord, thank You. Thank You for this church family, Lord. Thank You for the work that You're doing here. Thank You for what You're doing in my life. Jesus, thank You. Let's not be like those 9 lepers that just go on and expect it. We're a spoiled nation. We're a spoiled generation and we expect things. But we need to thank God for all that He's done. Do you have stones in your life or have you forgotten? Have you forgotten all the works and all the deeds and all the things that He has done? Church, I was thinking about this. You can open your eyes back up. And I was thinking, you know, do you ever struggle with worship? I know there's different worship. There's singing is a worship. But your life should be a worship. But have you ever were singing here at church? Maybe you just don't feel like worshiping. You don't feel like singing, or you're just kind of singing the words. You're not alone. Sometimes that's me. But then there was a song that Mitzi sings, like oil on your feet, like wine for you to drink. I don't know what it is about that song, but every time she sings that song, I can't help it. I just want to cry. Just something about that song. But then other songs will sing, and my mind goes off to this, to that, thinking about the sermon, thinking. And then the next song, oh yeah, wow. But you know, really, it shouldn't depend so much on the song. What it should depend on is my heart. Is my heart right with God? Who am I singing to? Am I singing so everybody sees me singing? Am I singing so I'm making just a joyful noise? Or am I singing to God? We wonder why we struggle so much with our worship. We struggle so much with praise. And I wonder if it's just because we forgot how awesome God is and all that He's done for us. When I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about singing. Well, I'll get to that in just a minute. Psalms 7:17 says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. I will sing the praises of the name of the Lord Most High. He says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of His righteousness. I will sing praises of the name of the Lord Most High. Psalms 69:30, I will praise God's name in song and glorify Him with thanksgiving. Psalms 95:1 says, come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. It's okay to shout in church, amen. It's okay to get a little excited. It's okay. Do we shout when we are at a football game and someone scores a touchdown or someone hits a home run or someone scores a winning basket and we'll jump up. We can't even control the emotions. But God, our Lord and Savior who's redeemed us, who doesn't treat us as our sin deserves, who's slow to anger and compassionate and loving and has transformed your life and healed you in so many ways. Well, we're all prim and proper. It's okay to shout. It's okay to praise. It's okay. I want to end right here in Acts 16. Acts 16:22. It says, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, you hear that? Severely flogged. They were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. I heard someone say, and I never thought about it this way, they weren't singing about God. They weren't singing about all that He's done, but they were singing to God. There's a difference. And I've really been thinking a lot about that. I like to sing. Not very good at it. But I like to sing. Most of the time when I'm singing, I'm in my car by myself, or I'm in the shower, or I'm just singing. Every once in a while, I'll sing too crystal. She usually, you know, I don't do it very often. When my kids were little and they were babies, I would sing to my kids. You see the difference? I'm focused on that little baby in my arms. I was focused on my wife. I'm focused on that person when I sing to them. But how often do I just sing and I'm just singing for myself, whatever? There's a difference. Y'all, many of us don't sing to God anymore because we've forgotten. We don't worship Him. We might sing about God. We don't sing to Him. And y'all, this morning, it was about the third song in, and it hit me. Pete, you're not singing to God. You're not singing as if God's listening. Will it change you when you know God's listening? It's a big difference when I'm singing and I hear and I figure out someone's listening. All at once, I sing a whole lot different. I get a whole lot quieter, you know. I don't want them to hear me hit that wrong note or whatever, you know. It's like you think you're at home all by yourself and you're just singing, and then all at once someone's there and you're like, what do? You usually quit singing unless you're really intent for them to hear you. Y'all, they've been beaten, they've been flogged, they were thrown into prison, but they were singing to God. To God. Maybe our worship, maybe our praise isn't what it is because we don't have our pile of stones in our life, marking our life of when God changed us, when God transformed us. And maybe this morning you need to remember all God's done and you need to begin to praise Him and you need to begin to sing to Him. If all you can say is thank you, you say thank you for what He's done. And as we're about to go into altar time right now, I challenge you. I don't know what song Mitzi has for us. And it doesn't matter if it's your favorite song, if you've never heard the song. I want you to sing to God this morning. And maybe if you can't sing, just begin to remember and thank Him. I can look around at faces in this room and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Do I tell you that? Not like I should. But y'all, I'm even more thankful for what the Lord has done in my life and how He's changed me, how He's transformed me. And you know what? I'm thankful for the job He's given me. Even when I get wet and got to walk around in wet shoes, it's a whole lot better than the jobs I used to have. And I'm thankful that God's allowed me to get up here and preach. I'm thankful that I can see God using me in people's lives. I'm thankful that He healed my shoulder when y'all prayed for me a few weeks ago. There's so many things. I'm thankful for the meals that were cooked for me and the gas money that was given to me and the gifts that I've been given and the help that I've received throughout my life. But y'all, more than anything, I'm thankful for what Jesus did. Because I didn't deserve it. And what Jesus has done for each and every one of you. Because you didn't deserve it. But He loves you so much this morning. Let's stand. Father, I'm thankful. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us in this room, Lord, would remember all that You've done on this Memorial Day weekend. The sacrifices that was made. The cross that was bore for my sins, for our sins. And Father, that when we live our lives, that we would live our lives knowing that You've changed us, knowing that You've transformed us, and that we owe everything to You, Father. And that we would walk with an attitude of thankfulness. Lord, even in the suffering, even when it feels like we may be in the prison, as Peter was, Lord, that we can sing to You and thank You, even when we don't see the physical miracles happen. Lord, we know that You're working. We know that You're doing. And we can offer up our praise and thank You. May we sing to You now with our hearts full of gratitude, our hearts full of remembering all that You've done. We offer up our praise to You now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's easy sometimes to praise when you're getting your Christmas gift, when you're getting your first car, whatever it is, when you're getting your belly fed. You know, it's easy to give thanks. But I think it was so important to read this about Paul and Silas because they weren't being taken care of at that moment. They were being beaten and in a prison. But they were praying and singing. And I think the other thing that's so important, it says that other prisoners were listening. Those people's listening to your life. It's easy to say, "Woo, I got a new car, I got a new house, and God's so good." But what when you're struggling to put groceries on the table and pay the electric bill? Can you still say, "Woo, God is so good"? You should be. People's watching. And I don't know why, but I thought of, I don't normally see what's going on behind me. I don't want to see what's going on behind me. But I remember them talking about a few years ago when Ellie was back there and I guess some people in front of her were raising their hands, praising the Lord. And they said Ellie just started raising her hands and was looking at what everybody else was doing. Y'all, there's people watching your life. Are you going to raise your hands and praise the Lord and say thank you? Whether you're well fed or hungry, in all your circumstances, are you going to remember all God's done and praise Him? If you hadn't been, start right now. Live with gratitude in your heart. Live a life of remembering all that God's done. No matter what state you're in right now, remember all God's done for you. Then He wants to do more. Consecrate yourself because God's about to do something amazing. Y'all think God's about to do something amazing with my life. And how different would we be if we lived each day going, "I need to be ready. God's about to do something amazing with me." Your amazing might be buying somebody's meal at McDonald's in front of you. Your amazing might be praying for somebody. Your amazing might be what you've been praying for years, trying to see it come to pass. Your amazing might be, God says, "Slow down. Speed up." I don't know. But knowing God's voice each and every day. I hope you guys all have tomorrow off and you get to enjoy a long weekend. And remember God, remember all that He's done, and have a blessed week. Men's meeting Wednesday night.